Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, February 28, 2020. Dozens of people are killed and more women and children are abducted in Pibor area.
We are trying to call them back. We call Juba because we don't have direct contact with them. We call our leadership in Juba because our secretary in Juba, they're trying to call them back to persuade them to come back.
And an activist says women and children are being sexually abused in Yei.
It has become an alarming rate where children have become part of these violations from the legal background. For us, we suggested that there are a lot of things that need to be done and the justice system cannot address alone.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Pibor administrative area say dozens of people have been killed in an ongoing intercommunal fighting which started 2 weeks ago. A youth leader says the attackers are believed to be from the former Fangak and Bia states. He says the attackers have abducted more than 30 women and children. Then Guy has more for VOA from Bor.
David Ngiro Yankon, former youth secretary for external affairs in the defunct Boma estate, says more than 40 people have been killed since the beginning of the clashes earlier this month.
When they got the women, they do kill them, even the elderly women and also the elderly, those who cannot able to manage to run, so like others. So when they got them, they do kill them. This is the kind of the killing that is happening, and also they do kill the children. So this is what is happening in the area. So we had about 35 women which were abducted, as well as 6,000 herds of cattle who were taken.
Yankon says the fighting continues. He says the attackers have taken control of some parts of the Pibor administrative area. Mabil Peter Kot, the acting secretary general of the defunct Bia state, says his office is trying to persuade the Lawnware youth to return and end the violence in Pibor.
We are trying to call them back. We call Juba because we don't have direct contact with them. We call our leadership in Juba because our secretary general in Juba, they're trying to call them back to persuade them to come back so that they could not continue with attack on Morole.
Yankon blames the South Sudan government for not taking action, seeing it is well aware of deadly intercommunal fighting in Pibor.
Young Bashar himself is here in Juba. He's having the peace with the president here. They have already signed and was sworn in at the first vice president. And also at the same time, his forces are not attacking the people over that area. So we are calling for the national government actually to act on this to see how they are able to control this. Because you can't have a peace on one side and one side is still continue fighting. The day before yesterday, they are also talking about this. So, but we did not see any serious action which was taken, so we just heard that they were condemned.
Ngiro says it's time political leaders take seriously what is happening in and around Pibor. Mayik Ayi, minister in the office of the president, was called, but his phones appear to be switched off. President Salva Kiir's spokesman, Ateny Wek Ateny, says the presidency condemns the intercommunal clashes in Greater Pibor administrative area.
The presidency on their city, they have condemned the fighting that is fighting, the communal fighting in Greater Bibor, whereby the white army invaded the area and attacked the local population of Greater Bibor. And the fighting has been raging on since last week. They have condemned it in the strongest term possible, and they have urged all the communities to involved in these skirmishes to stop fighting.
Ateny says the South Sudan Defense Forces have been ordered to intervene to end the fighting, but are yet to take action. While visiting Greater Jonglei a year ago, former First Vice President Taban Dengai warned governors and other top state officials that if they did not take steps to prevent intercommunal violence, they would run the risk of being held responsible for future attacks carried out by youth from their communities. No official have been held accountable to date. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
Human rights activists in Yei River County are asking the government to enact laws that punish those who rape and sexually abuse women and girls. The activists are calling on authorities to follow through documented cases of rape in the last 2 months. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei.
Many South Sudanese women and girls have been sexually abused, says activists, but the perpetrators often get away with it. Taban Oliver, a legal aid officer with the South Sudan Law Society, rampant sexual abuse is a serious human rights concern in South Sudan, especially in Yei River County. He says the Ministry of Justice must take sexual abuse more seriously by prosecuting the perpetrators.
It has become an alarming rate where children have become part of these violations. From the legal background, for us, we suggested that there are a lot of things that need to be done, and the justice system cannot address alone. But this will require all the key stakeholders in the justice system. We expect the police to do their role of the investigations to see that these are cases that are brought before the courts. It is heard, judgment is executed.
Speaking in Arabic, Yei Town resident Johnson Ali says his 17-year-old daughter was sexually abused by three traders in Yei Town.
I reported the issue to the police and I want to see the end results of this case through a court ruling. I want the government to address this issue and justice should prevail.
Yei River County Police Officer Nora Simon says police arrested a group of men in connection with the alleged sexual attack on Ali's daughter last Thursday.
We have arrested three suspects who abused a teenage girl in Yei Town, and we are done with the police investigations, and we are awaiting to forward the case to the county high court because, as women police, we are not happy on sexual abuse against the girl child, and it's a crime.
Ali insists that the men who raped his daughter were released before they could be arraigned in court. Simon is urging all women, whether they live in town or rural areas, to report cases of sexual violence immediately to authorities. She says rape is a crime and punishable for up to 7 years under existing South Sudanese laws. Yei-based human rights activist Mary Bokar says although the cessation of hostilities agreement states that authorities are supposed to prosecute all those accused of rape or sexual abuse, the problem continues unabated.
Women are fearing. They fear to move alone. Women coming from the countryside on their way from the village to the town. There are so many things happening on the way. Because men cannot fear a person who is under pregnant. They rape the same woman who is under pregnant and the same lady who is a virgin. Let the government also see that these women are protected.
Hawa Adam, another women rights activist in Yei, says the government must step up.
We are feeling the pain, we as women of Yei, and the pain should not just go like that. We need accountability on perpetrators who are doing such bad acts, more especially rape cases on women, even the elderly women, pregnant women at times. You find they are raped. So we condemned it to the highest peak that we don't need such a thing to happen again in South Sudan.
Hawa says South Sudanese legal institutions have done too little to protect women's rights. Leon Lemery, Director General in the former Yei River State Ministry of Law Enforcement, is calling on the public to report cases of human rights abuses, especially sexual abuse.
It is only that we report if the person is a soldier, and then the police will now share it with the leadership of the army. And then that perpetrator, if not brought into the court, but still there is the military court which is constituted in Juba.
For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei.
German President Frank Walters has wrapped up a two-day visit to Khartoum. He promised to work with Sudan's friends to remove Sudan from the list of countries sponsoring terrorism. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
In a joint news conference on Thursday in Khartoum with the chairman of the Sudanese Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, German President Steinmeier says his government is ready to begin a new collaboration with the Sudan Transitional Government and provide support to help revive its economy. Speaking in Arabic through an interpreter, Steinmeier says Germany is aware of the current challenges facing the government and the citizens of Sudan due to ousted President Omar al-Bashir's 30-year administration, and says Germany will support the government overcome these challenges.
We know that Sudanese citizens are expecting a lot of changes in the situation as soon as possible, and we are aware that this is a big challenge for the current transitional government.
The German president vows that Germany will continue to work closely with Sudan's partners so that it is removed from the list of countries sponsoring terrorism and will offer financial assistance to Sudan.
We fully support the political change in Sudan, despite of all challenges you are going through. And our wish is that the change should hold, which is very important also for the Sudanese citizens and the region as well.
Sovereign Council Chairman Al-Burhan described the visit of the German president as historic and says Sudan is ready to start this new era with a clean heart. Al-Burhan says the two discussed several developmental projects that would help revive Sudan's economy and join the international diplomacy once again.
We have discussed the German support in regards to the removal of the name of Sudan from the list of countries that sponsor terrorism. We have discussed about how Germany could work together with other friends of Sudan and European Union to support the country. And we also discussed how Germany could also help Sudan to support our economy and achieve lasting peace in the country.
Al-Burhan admits the Sudanese economy is in urgent need of support in order for Sudan to provide its citizens with basic services. He says Germany wants to renew the close tie it had with Sudan before Bashir came to power.
We requested for a support and assistance so that we are able to stand on our feet and rejoin the international scene as before. We used to have a good relationship with Germany in the previous century, and we would like that relationship to begin again as before.
Muhammad Ali Fazari, a Sudanese journalist and a political analyst, says German president's visit will not only benefit Sudan, but gives Germany additional investment opportunities in the country.
No doubt that the visit of German president to Sudan will pave the way for a deeper diplomatic relations between the two countries and will strengthening diplomatic ties between Khartoum and Berlin after years of Khartoum isolation.
President Steinmeier also met with Sudan's Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok and visited the Sudan's National Museum yesterday. He also paid a visit to the site of Sudan's military headquarters in Khartoum this morning before leaving to Berlin. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, confirmed cases of coronavirus are reported in some African nations. Find out where when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what makes a relationship strong?
The only thing is trusting one another. When you trust someone, you will not think negative of your partner.
Communication. The moment you communicate, everything is going to be sorted. Because most marriages always break out because of little communication among the spouses.
Trust and faith. When, for example, if I'm in a relationship, I would suggest, it's important for your partner to trust you and have faith in you.
Relationship can be strong when you understand yourself, you have unity and you work together, and you also have common activities you do together so that you can share the relationship. The relationship will be stronger.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. China's ambassador to South Sudan says his government is hoping to prevent the spread of the coronavirus to South Sudan by delaying the return of Chinese workers to the country. The Chinese diplomat adds that South Sudanese officials should tighten measures to prevent an outbreak. Wake Simon Wudu has the story for VOA from Juba.
Chinese ambassador to South Sudan Huang Ying says, knowing that there are confirmed cases of the disease in some African countries, South Sudan should take proactive efforts to prevent coronavirus from reaching the country.
We have seen that Nigeria and Algeria, they have reported the first confirmed cases. So we also suggest that maybe South Sudan also needs to strengthen its precaution measures in accordance with the neighboring country situation and the local conditions of South Sudan.
Although work was shut down in many Chinese provinces following the outbreak of the virus, Ambassador Ying says many provinces have since reopened industries and have resumed work. He says the latest reports indicated that over the past 2 weeks, confirmed cases have fallen by 80%, and since yesterday, more than 36,100 cases have been cured and patients discharged from hospitals in more than 30 provinces in China. Ying says some new cases were confirmed in Hubei yesterday, but the new numbers indicate a sharp drop from the peak of 15,152 on February 12. Still, Ying says with the spread of the virus to some African countries, South Sudanese authorities should tighten their preventive measures.
In recent times, we have noted there is a number of cases in some of the countries in the regions has increased significantly, and the localized and targeted measures need to be taken. From China's experience, we see four earlys: early detection, early reporting, early isolation, early treatment, frequent hand washing, regular ventilation, wearing a face mask when necessary, staying at home, and strengthening self-protection are very important means to prevent the spread of the virus.
China has invested heavily in South Sudan's oil industry, bringing in its own workers to run its oil facilities and work on various infrastructure projects. In the Wuhan region, where the coronavirus outbreak first occurred, Ambassador Ying says at least 24 South Sudanese are studying in Wuhan. On January 23rd, the central government in China imposed a lockdown on 11 million people in Wuhan and other cities in Hubei province to try to quarantine the epicenter of the outbreak. Ying says his government has advised Chinese employees who were in China when the virus broke out to delay their return journeys to South Sudan.
It also requires all who have visited China and other relevant countries in the past 14 days to be isolated at home for 14 days.
South Sudanese authorities have placed immigration and epidemic reminders, such as posters carrying messages about the coronavirus, at Juba International Airport, and have circulated informational materials in hopes of preventing an outbreak of the virus. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
From Juba, we move to South Africa, where the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, says he has directed officials to repatriate more than 130 South Africans from Wuhan. Officials stress no one in the group has tested positive for the virus, and health officials will put them under quarantine when they get home. The decision contradicts official Chinese advice that foreigners in Wuhan will fare best if they remain in place. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
Of the 199 South African citizens in the Chinese city, 132 have asked to come home, according to the president's office. All are currently in lockdown in Wuhan as the virus spreads. However, the presidency made clear in a statement late Thursday night that they should not expect a no-strings-attached homecoming. Upon arrival, they will be placed in a 21-day quarantine. None of them, the president's office noted, have been diagnosed with the virus or shown any symptoms. While the president's office did not answer numerous calls seeking comment and did not say when people might begin to return, Ministry of Health spokeswoman Dr. Lwazi Manzi told VOA that officials have one strong message for South Africans. Don't panic.
People must absolutely not panic. We're not bringing back here people who have coronavirus. These are people who are very well, who are fine. Nobody has coronavirus. They are people who have requested to come home for various reasons. Some of them are students who finished their studies. Some of them are people who finished whatever they're doing in business or in leisure, and they really just need to get back home and get out of the lockdown conditions in Wuhan. And also just to sort of reiterate that we are bringing back citizens from Wuhan, from that epicenter, who are under lockdown. And we are bringing them back upon their request so that they can, continue with their lives that they were living here in South Africa.
Africa has been largely spared, as more than 82,000 people have been infected worldwide since the virus began to surface late last year. Most of the cases are in China. Nigeria this week reported its first confirmed case. South Africa's National Institute for Infectious Diseases applauded the move to repatriate South Africans and stressed that there have been no confirmed cases yet in South Africa. The Institute's Dr. Kerrigan McCarthy says authorities continue to monitor the situation.
To date, there have been no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in South Africa, and the NICD continues to test for possible cases. 133 persons to date have been tested for SARS-CoV, of whom 89 met the case definition for persons under investigation as of the 28th of February. We continue to monitor trends of COVID-19 globally and in the African region to improve our knowledge of the disease and to continually enhance our surveillance and response.
Additionally, South Africa's government has implemented temperature testing and health screening at the continent's busiest airport. The nation's health minister has assured the population that the government has contingency plans in place, including designated treatment facilities and a 24-hour hotline. Manzi added that two South African nationals are being treated in Japan after testing positive for the virus on the Princess Diamond cruise ship. However, she added, both patients are asymptomatic and will be kept under medical care until they are fully recovered. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus, and it's time for our listeners' comments. And we are happy to hear from many of you once again. Hakim Cosmos from what he calls Small London, yay, he writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. Allow me to appreciate your team across the country for the wonderful work they are doing, especially in the time of difficulties. My comment is that we have the president, but my concern as a citizen is that I haven't seen any change yet, because the same people who are appointed are the ones who served in the government from 2011. As we wait for other posts to be announced, we do want our president to include youth, women on the new government for easy balance of power." Malweth Paul Achok in Juba writes, "Thanks for the show. I would like to congratulate parties to the revitalized peace agreement for achieving peace in South Sudan." Samuel Sebit, who did not disclose his location, writes, "I was surprised to hear the former Minister of Finance in Eastern Lake State join SPLAIO and claim youth were marginalized. That's not true. Tell us you are looking for a new appointment in the current government of national unity. Please let us stick to peace and leave personal interest." Peter Jakayom in Ball writes, "The leaders of this country should not be concerned about who is to be the minister, but let them put our interests first as citizens. My question is, did the government really know that the people are killing themselves in this country? This communal conflict is not going to stop because leaders are still behind all these conflicts. Nuera finishing up Murle, and the government is keeping quiet. God help these innocent souls taking safety here in Bor. I thank the people of Greater Bor for hosting IDPs from Pibor." Ayom Roy Ayom from Bor writes, "I'm happy that the five vice presidents, including the first vice president, Dr. Riek Machar, have taken oath of office last week. I'm still urging President Kiir and his five deputies to consider holdout groups or dissident politicians, because the revitalized agreement on the resolution of conflict in the Republic of South Sudan is neither Quran nor Bible. It could be amended to accommodate these members from SSOMA so that we achieve peace once and for all. We don't want our country to be dilapidated again. Lexon Saki in Juba writes, thanks South Sudanese leaders for the formation of the Government of National Unity and movement of politicians from one party to the other, searching for employment. We need speedy recovery, economic development, security and stability. Peter Goch Anyang in Duke Payuel writes, coronavirus has become a global threat that needs proper attention, including banning flights to and from China to curtail further spread of the deadly virus. Alier Philip Thok from Adjumani, Uganda Refugee Settlement writes, we are proud peace has come to South Sudan through the formation of the Transitional Government of National Unity. In fact, it's not yet done because deputies, governors, and members of parliament are not appointed. We, the people in refugee camp, are asking leaders in the unity government to honor the peace this time around. They should know that we have given them a homework to do. If anyone fails to perform in their respective clusters, then they should know that no subordinate comes to elections 3 years from now. Henceforth, we need less corruption government since we can't wait, but just eliminate this nonsense of corruption to zero level. Martin Manuel Wegol, a South Sudanese in Uganda, writes, VOA hardworking journalist, I would like to appeal to South Sudan that we are tired of war in this young nation. Enough is enough. I pray for our leaders not to take leadership for their own advantage. Forgive one another and we move forward. John from Rhino Camp in Northern Uganda writes, I thank VOA for all the news updates on current developments in South Sudan. Honestly speaking, we are urging the government and the opposition groups to put the interests of their people first above their own interests and compromise for the sake of peace. Mal Adau Mal in Bor writes, I urge all the Sudanese political leaders to immediately invest their time and energies, particularly on peace and reunification of citizens in order to restart the country afresh based on new political dispensation of forgiveness, love among citizens of South Sudan. Peace woye, unity woye, development woye. Thanks for all your comments. Keep them coming. That brings us to the end of our show for this Friday. We now leave you with a song by a group calling themselves Mundu Boys. Wachisha! Dene uja jikai mundu boys Nkoro di chika jele kui Mungu mere eba musinu gugula gorila Umere mere durungui Singwa kiti bala denga una Singwa kiti bala denga una Yoko jedi yoko Singwa kiti bala denga una Singwa kiti bala denga una Yoko jedi yoko Singwa kiti bala denga una Singwa kiti bala denga una Yoko jedi yoko Singwa kiti bala denga una Singwa kiti bala denga una Yoko jedi yoko Singwa kiti bala denga una Singwa kiti bala denga una Yoko jedi yoko We've been listening to the Mundu Boys with a traditional Mundu song. For those of you who don't know, the Mundu are found in Yei and Meridi. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a peaceful weekend and join us again tomorrow evening for another. Join us on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
una zimbaki di bala denga una yoko jeji yoko
zimbaki di bala denga una zimbaki di bala denga una yoko jeji yoko
mungu mere e buru buru batima di de buru
oi
mungu mere e buru buru batima di kirimde
oi
mungu mere e buru buru batima di de buru
oi
mama la mungu mere e buru buru batima di watimude
oi.